On 6PR Breakfast, it's time for Peter Ford.
The boys watch the girls while the girls watch the boys who watch the girls go by.
Here he is, Peter Ford. He's got some big news this morning. Can't wait to tell you about the video. That's coming up. But on a day when James Packer is going to be in the stand, he might have to answer questions about an entirely different matter, Peter Ford. Good morning.
Well, I don't know that this is going to come up in the Crown Casino inquiry.
Imagine if they do. By the way, Mr. Packer, I've just read an article in Who magazine.
Well, it would be interesting. So, long story short, as we all know, James Packer and Mariah Carey were engaged to be married, very high-profile romance, particularly here in this country, and they were, I think, like months away from getting married, and James was in a very bad place. The wedding was called off, and as a side footnote, it was actually Kerry Stokes who played a major role in having that wedding called off, basically said to James, you call her and tell her the wedding's off or I'll do it for you. And so subsequently the wedding was off. Then there was a settlement arranged. She demanded an inconvenience fee, which she got, which was reportedly somewhere between $8 and $12 million. And then she also got to keep the ring, which was worth about $4 million. And she subsequently went down to Cashies and sold that for probably half that, but she sold it. Mm. So she got a lot of money out of it. And I think it goes without saying, I don't know this for a fact, but I would say 99.9% certainties that when they said, yes, here's your $8 million, yes, you can keep the ring, but sign this. It's an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. Mm. You don't talk publicly about the relationship ever again.
Right.
So subsequently, when her autobiography came out last week, I wasn't surprised that there was no mention of James Packer at all, completely not mentioned. And she's on the publicity round. She's been asked about the fact that he isn't mentioned. And she has said that the relationship, it doesn't matter. It wasn't important enough. We never actually even had sex.
Sorry?
They never slept together, to put it
They were together for a while, weren't they?
They were. I think it was about 18 months at least. And she says they never actually did the deed. Mm. So that may or may not be true. It's sort of irrelevant. But if it's true?
Well, it's not really. She said it. It's not irrelevant. She said it.
But what I'm saying is it's tacky. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant to the fact that it's just very tacky. Why would you want to feel a need to share that? And particularly if you've made an agreement that you're not going to talk about the relationship publicly, why would you do it?
Yeah.
Now, James Packer did talk about the relationship to Damon Kitney when he was writing his book, but he spoke about her in a very positive way. And I suspect had she spoken about him in a very positive way, they wouldn't have been particularly uptight. But I would say without any doubt that there will be a legal letter sent to Mariah to just remind her that this was an agreement that was entered into. You ended up with about $12 million worth of, you know, goods and cash payment. You should be keeping your end of the bargain.
Did she say it because if it's true that because the relationship was never consummated, they never were in a relationship?
No. She's basically dismissing the whole relationship by saying it didn't matter. That's why I didn't put it in the book.
Right.
We never even had sex. Mm. But clearly there was a relationship. We've got a multitude of...
Well, they got engaged. Of course they had a relationship. They got engaged.
Well, people can get married without having had sex.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's not a fact of life, but I'm saying to say they didn't have a relationship. You can have a relationship without having
sexual
sex.
Relationship, I think, is the point.
We're getting down to... Yeah, okay.
No, the point is, she's very tacky.
I tend to agree. Now, Trump's official coming home video is a joke. I've just had a look. We've been watching it live this morning.
What do you mean a joke? It's brilliant.
It is a joke.
I mean, purely, let's try and...
It's one of the best things I've ever seen,
this,
though.
Yeah, let me say this really clearly. Purely from a TV marketing point of view, it is absolutely brilliant. I know if people go to the effort and have a look at it, some of them will puke. The music you're hearing, it's like watching the opening sequence of a big budget feature film.
They obviously had
a lot of pre-planning went into it because different cameras positioned to different spots and they staged it all and everybody knew where they had to be. Then it all played out. They edited the whole thing, put the music bed in, and it's out there for public consumption like an hour after he arrived.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The most startling thing about that I found was that they were all sitting there waiting for it to happen. I mean, the crew was all there, it was all shot, and the editing team were down below in the basement waiting to get it out as quickly as possible. I mean, the most alarming thing about that is that's stage management beyond anything the North Koreans have done.
The bloke's got coronavirus.
So why does he?
He's got COVID-19, and you reckon it's a great thing? No, I mean, these people are mad. No. I mean, where are the people, the camera operators, and everyone else that's in the White House?
No, that's
rubbish.
Steve, that's the point we're making.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was saying. Yeah.
It's madness.
Yes, Steve. That's what we're saying.
It is madness. It's propaganda
exactly
at its best. It's
brilliant television, you were saying. I mean, it's been tune in and tune out every now and then, do you?
It's brilliant television. It's brilliant marketing.
It's not brilliant television. It's madness.
No, Steve, I think,
It can be that as well.
Yes, I think that's the point we were trying to make by, you know, sort of hamming it up at the start and then pointing out that they are outdoing the North Koreans in propaganda. And why do they feel the need to do that? So we are agreeing, Steve. Do you understand?
And there's no way that they did not bring in a professional director, producer, who's probably done feature films or big-budget TV to create that look. I mean, it is absolutely magnificent. But at the same time, I totally agree, it's going to make people angry and make people want to throw up when they see it.
Throw up. Beyond that, AC/DC first single drops tomorrow. What time?
Yeah, 12 noon tomorrow, worldwide drop, 12 noon Perth time, and it's called Shot in the Dark. We had a little tiny sampler of it last week. Of course, it's over 2 years since they went into the studio, so it's taken a long time to get to this point, but 12 noon tomorrow it drops.
Okay, well, they've looked after Bon Scott's resting place, in a sense. Midday's a pretty good time for that to happen here in Perth. Thank you, Fordy. We can see the pictures. People can see the pictures on the news tonight, or it's all over social media now. It's quite the most extraordinary thing.
I mean, USA. It is, it-